Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. I had a couple of questions from a couple of listeners, and I appreciated them reaching out. So they were looking for a podcast that I had already done. And I just want to say the best way to do that is go to reallifepharmacology.com, click on the podcast button, and you should see on the right-hand side, there is a search tab there. So, for instance, the individual reached out and asked about bupropion, if I had done that before. And indeed, I have. All the podcast episodes are listed on the reallifepharmacology.com website. So go ahead, type in the drug name you want to see, and you can see if I've done a podcast on that medication or not. So I know some of the platforms may not show all the individual podcasts, so that's a good way to check and see. Another simple way to do it is type in the drug you're thinking about that you want to listen to, and then in Google, and then type in Real Life Pharmacology Podcast after that, and it'll pull it in. If I've done a podcast on that. So with that said, thank you for the suggestions about which drugs to do next, those type of things. You can do that mededucation101@gmail.com. And of course, while you're at reallifepharmacology.com, go sign up, subscribe for the free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Great little study guide, quick refresher on some of the most important clinical pearls on the top 200 drugs. And lastly, MedEd 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology is available on Amazon. It's an over 200-page book, tremendous value. I've got it priced really, really low, really competitively. That book has taken me probably 2 years to make. So there's a ton of good content in there, great refresher for anyone, or a great learning tool for anyone who's really starting to learn and get into pharmacology, whether you're a pharmacy student, nursing student, med student. That is a great introductory book where you can definitely learn a lot about pharmacology, and it's categorized, separated out based upon disease state and disease system, as most people learn pharmacology that way. Most colleges and things like that teach it. So again, check out MedEd 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology if you're just learning pharmacology. Great resource there on Amazon. All right, that's enough for announcements today. Let's get into the drug of the day, and that is bisoprolol. Brand name of this medication is Zebeta, Z-E-B-E-T-A. This is a beta blocker. Mechanistically blocks beta 1 receptors. Remember, beta 1 receptors are on the heart. You have one heart, and beta 2 receptors are on the lungs. You have two lungs. So this is primarily beta 1 selective. However, if we escalate doses and generally get above 20 milligram doses for bisoprolol, that selectivity goes away. However, in clinical practice, you know, it's very, very seldom that I see dosages above 10 even. So that's usually kind of the standard higher dose. Occasionally, I will see 20 milligram dosages as well. And that is the generally recognized maximum is 20 milligrams there. So use. It is a beta blocker. Angina, atrial fibrillation, kind of bringing that heart rate down, of course. Heart failure with reduced ejection fraction. Hypertension, another possible indication there. I want to mention with hypertension, beta blockers just for hypertension are definitely not a first-line agent. Now, if you've got somebody with atrial fibrillation or something else, angina and hypertension, then that might be a situation where we utilize the duality or the dual benefit of a beta blocker like bisoprolol. Elimination, I wanted to mention that. So this drug is kind of partially eliminated by metabolic processes, breaking down by the liver in CYP enzymes. So those primary CYP enzymes are CYP2D6, CYP3A4, and it also eliminated by the kidney as unchanged drugs. So that's kind of a half and half process. So what that means as far as, you know, dosing and drug interactions, so dosing based upon renal function isn't that huge of a deal. However, if you get to really low renal function, that drug can accumulate, or that can be a bigger risk. Same thing with hepatic drug interactions. So 3A4, 2D6, it takes some pretty significant blockade of those enzymes to really affect it much. So having multiple pathways for the drug to essentially be deactivated and stop its effects, that makes it kind of resistant to a lot of issues. If something goes haywire with renal function, you know, we've still got the pathway of breaking it down through the liver and CYP enzymes. So that can be an advantage, but definitely something to think about as we get maybe to higher dosages and or in the case of the kidney, getting to really low renal function, you know, less than 20 mils per minute there. All right, let's talk about those adverse effects. So first and foremost, I always think about the clinical effects that this drug is going to have. So using it in atrial fibrillation, we're bringing down the pulse. Using it in hypertension, we're bringing down blood pressure. Obviously, we can bring it down too much. So we can cause bradycardia, we can cause hypotension. Other potential issues, so recalling that it's a beta blocker, as doses escalate, we could lose a little selectivity, and we could worsen the risk for bronchospasm, worsening asthma, and potentially, as I'll mention in interactions, opposing beneficial effects of beta-2 agonists. Fatigue, lethargy, sexual dysfunction, masking hypoglycemia in patients, you know, taking insulin or taking sulfonylureas, that's a risk that can potentially happen there. And then, of course, we want to avoid abrupt discontinuation of beta blockers in general, but bisoprolol certainly falls in that category as well. And mechanistically, how that works is when you give beta blockers, the body tries to compensate by producing and upregulating more receptors, more beta receptors, to try to overcome that beta blocking response. So when you pull that drug away abruptly, all those beta receptors are still there. And so that abrupt removal of the drug causes this excessive sympathetic activation and obviously can cause increased heart rate, increased pulse, and things like that. So definitely, unless there's a very, very severe adverse effect that the drug needs to be stopped right now, we always want to try to taper down and off these medications if we're going to stop them. Contraindications I wanted to mention. So obviously it makes sense if patients are already bradycardic, you know, pulse in the mid to low 50s or lower, that's a situation where we're obviously going to not use this medication. And if that pulse gets too low, we're going to have to potentially back off on dosages or potentially stop it. Other contraindications, cardiogenic shock, and then greater than first degree heart block as well. From a pharmacokinetic standpoint, I mentioned that kind of half and half renal excreted through the urine as unchanged drug, and then, you know, potentially half of the drug is also deactivated by CYP enzymes, and those, you know, primary enzymes are CYP2D6 and CYP3A4. But having that kind of half and half, how the drug is eliminated and removed, drug interactions via CYP enzymes aren't a crazy issue generally. All right, let's take a quick break from our sponsor and we'll wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, like BCPS, ambulatory care, or if you're a pharmacy student looking for NAPLEX content, got a growing list of resources at meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. Also, if you're a nurse, med student, pharmacy student, you're just picking up pharmacology, no-brainer to go check out the MedEd 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology. Great resource laid out by disease state, and awesome resource as far as just providing you with some of the most important clinical pearls that you're going to need to know for your pharmacology exams and ultimately board exams as you try to become a licensed healthcare professional. So go check that out at meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. Also, if you're a healthcare professional working out in the field, I've got books on case studies, clinical pearls, drug interactions, some really highly rated books that people have really found helpful in helping them learn medication management and learn some of the clinical quirks, some of the things that actually happen out in real life. So again, all those resources, go support the sponsor, meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. All right, wrapping up with drug interactions. So first, I think about low pulse, so drugs that can have an additive effect there. Most commonly used agent in my geriatric patient population, donepezil, rivastigmine. So those are the acetylcholinesterase inhibitors. Those can have additive effects on causing bradycardia. Dropping blood pressure, so certainly you got to think about any antihypertensive medication, ACE inhibitors, thiazide diuretics, and so on and so forth. Other drugs, Sinemet, PDE5 inhibitors, these can lower blood pressure as well. And then beta-2 agonist blunting effects. So remembering some of the long-acting beta agonists, some of the short-acting beta agonists, your albuterol, salmeterol, and so on and so forth. Using a beta blocker like bisoprolol can blunt the effects. And that is a dose-dependent effect. So the higher the dose, the more and more likely you are to increase that risk of blunting the effects from your beta agonist used for respiratory conditions. Stimulants, so we can have kind of opposing effects there. So using a drug like methylphenidate, for example, methylphenidate can increase pulse, increase blood pressure, cause tachycardia, things like that. So obviously that's going to have an opposing effect to what we're trying to do with the beta blocker there. Other drugs that can potentially raise blood pressure and blunt the effects of bisoprolol. So I think of something like Sudafed, pseudoephedrine, that can raise blood pressure. Drugs like NSAIDs can raise blood pressure as well. So definitely think about these agents as we're using medications to potentially lower blood pressure. And then lastly, I wanted to mention sulfonylureas, insulin. So beta blockers like bisoprolol can blunt the signs and symptoms of hypoglycemia. Not a crazy huge thing that I've seen in clinical practice, but if you know a patient who's had multiple episodes of hypoglycemia, they don't seem to be aware of what's going on with that hypoglycemia or unique situations, just remember that that beta blocker could potentially blunt some of the signs and symptoms of hypoglycemia. All right, well, that's going to wrap up the podcast for today. If you enjoyed this episode, found it helpful, definitely go leave us a review on it on iTunes or wherever you're listening. I greatly appreciate that. Share us with friends, colleagues. Share the reallifepharmacology.com link. And also, if you want access to a lot of those other ones and want to search for specific podcast episodes, going to reallifepharmacology.com, click on the podcast tab and search on the right-hand side. It's probably the easiest way to find an episode there. I also do, if you scroll down further there, at reallifepharmacology.com, you should see on the right-hand side categorizations of drugs, so cardiovascular, musculoskeletal, so on and so forth. So you can see if you're studying for a specific section in pharmacology and you're preparing for an exam, for example, You can see that on the right-hand side, and you can click on that, and it'll pull up all the podcasts from that respective section. So definitely take advantage of that as you're preparing. And then, of course, check out that MedEd 101 Guide to Nursing Pharmacology, brand new book I've put out here in the last few months. Getting some good reviews and ratings on it. I think people are finding it really, really helpful in preparing them throughout their pharmacology classes in school. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for today. If you want to track me down, Eric Christensen, LinkedIn. Otherwise, you can email me at mededucation101@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.